I'm calling the May 18th, 2015 meeting of the Catuit Fire District Prudential Committee to order. Any public comment? No public comment. So the minister from the Freedom Church couldn't make it here today. We're going to meet with him next month.
Did we ever get any kind of reading whether it's legal to rent a municipal building to a church-affiliated organization?
It was discussed at the time we first rented to it. Well, we don't rent. They use it for nothing. But they give a contribution. I think they give Tony a check every month. But nobody seemed to object. Nobody seemed to think it was a problem. So as far as I know, nobody studied it.
Thank you.
We can ask Mark Boudreaux. Excuse me. We can ask Mark.
Sure. I don't think it's a problem.
I think we should, just to get a legal reading. Because I know reading in the newspapers years ago there was problems with religious organizations renting rooms in public schools and stuff like that. Ken, we're in the middle of the meeting.
I'm sorry.
Can we move on to the treasurer's request for proposal? Is that all cleaned up and ready to go?
I thought I sent it to you to give to Elaine.
No, I haven't received it.
Tomorrow's Tuesday. You're going to be around.
Yes.
I'll get you a couple of copies.
Okay. Thank you.
Has Mike, expressed any interest in that?
I did send him a copy and told him that we'd like his opinion. I haven't heard anything. I told him to contact you, I think.
All right. I'll get in touch with him again.
Yeah. Because when I met with him, I didn't ask him directly, but I got the feeling that there was a 50-50 chance that he would.
Yeah.
Depending upon the RFP,
continue. Well, we'll let him write it as far as I'm concerned.
All right. And Stan, the district insurance.
Okay. What I'd like to do, number one, is wait until after the election to get started on that. And number two, I have talked to an acquaintance that I know who made his living as a commercial insurance consultant for industry. And I was just asking him some questions, and he volunteered to do it pro bono.
Oh,
so I just want to look through the... Fran sent me some stuff about the IG, and I just want to look through that stuff and make sure that we can actually do that.
Oh, I'm sure we can.
Yeah, I mean, he worked with the libraries, all seven libraries, and got them looked at their insurance and analyzed it and worked with D&O because the insurance was with D&O to get a better deal for the libraries. So I have a lot of confidence in them.
Sounds good.
Have you gotten the information, the insurance information from the water department?
I haven't gone after that yet because
okay.
What I want to do is once I get started, line him up and ask him, what do you need? Because he said, I'll do it, but you have to be there with me.
Okay.
I want to find out from him, what does he want so I can get everything he needs to get started.
Okay.
This is not to say, his name is Joe McWilliams, and he lives in Ostaville.
All right. Mr. Nemec, who takes care of the smoke detector system and the monitoring of it for this building, looked at the 56 High Street, and to wire that up for fire, for smoke and intrusions is going to be $1,710. And that includes the $330 for the yearly monitoring fee. And we still have $5,000 in that line item for the purchase of 56 High Street. So we can use that line item to cover it. And because this is somebody that we're already using for our security and alarms, we don't need to go out to other vendors. So if I could have a motion to accept the $1,710 bid for 56 High Street for smoke detectors and a security alarm.
I move that we accept NEMIC's bid of $1,710 for smoke detectors and intrusion alarms for 56 High Street.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. Okay. So now we need to go through the annual warrant and decide who's going to be reading which warrant articles. So
now last year, did Mike type out the actual motions for us?
I believe he did.
I think so, because if he doesn't do it, I can do it. Always used to.
So I'll do Article 1.
Okay.
I'll do 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And then, so we also need to do.
You have to do Article 4.
Four. Do you want me to do 4?
Sure.
5.
5 is fire.
And 6 is purchase portfolio driving. I'll do 6.
No, six is also
the fire. They do their own. Fire and water do their own.
Oh, okay. So.
So we skip down to.
So am I doing 4 and 5 or not? Yes or no?
Yeah. That's finance. The finance department?
Okay.
Four.
Sorry, yeah.
Five is fire. It belongs to fire.
So I'm doing 4.
Right. You're doing 4. Oh, don't worry. You're going to get more.
Okay. No problem.
7 is fire.
8 is water. 9 is water. 10 is water. 11.
Water. No. That's us.
Yeah, that's Freedom Hall. So
I'll do 11.
Yep.
Okay.
And 12 is.
I'll do 12.
Okay.
Laura, do you want to do the streetlights?
I'll do the streetlights. I can't do the next order.
No, I'll do that.
So you want to do 14, Fran?
I'll do 14. That way nobody associated with the libraries has to worry about anything. So.
This is finance. Is 15 is finance?
Yep.
I'll do that.
Okay.
So what? Just to break here. So by assigning these to read, does that mean you're responsible for answering questions or it's just...
No, you're just making the motion.
You're making the motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Laura, do you want to do 16 and 17?
Sure.
Okay.
And we already made our recommendations, right?
Right.
I don't think there's anything we have to discuss to you about it once we've done that.
So the only ones that require our recommendations are the large transfer.
And anything that the water commissioners or fire commissioners put in, we have to have a recommendation.
Okay.
Otherwise, we just, you know, we'd be recommending our own articles, which
right.
is a little dumb. But
yeah.
I don't know if this comes under this, the ADM warrant. If you look at the notes, some of the things require a 2/3 vote. Like the $550,000.
Correct.
Yep.
So we we need to, we just can't take a voice vote on that.
You can take a voice vote, and if it's unanimous, you're all set.
Okay.
But if you have three people in the back yelling no, then you have to have tellers.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's what? There's that and the...
It's the water tower, the fire truck.
Yeah.
To move out of stabilization.
Stabilization, is, yeah.
Yeah.
We all set on that?
I think so.
Okay. So, the website, Pam is moving to...
Patricia,
is moving to Somerville. Yeah. Because her husband got a new job and it'll be closer to her kids. And she'd obviously still do our website if we wanted to.
My daughter tells me it's a much better job than the one he's got at Cape Cod. He works at Cape Cod Hospital.
Oh.
And he and my daughter have lunch together every day.
All right, okay. So, I don't know if we want to look into finding somebody else that's local, or the county is in the process and has gone out for bids to expand their IT department and offer it in support of all the towns and districts, with the thought of saving us money. But
well,
that's just gone out to bid, and that's not set up yet.
I think that if we stick with Pat for a few months and see what transpires with the county, and if it really is going to save us money, of course.
Yeah.
Do we need a... she's effectively the webmaster then, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is there anything special that the webmaster needs to know or do? Because, I mean, if
I've done postings, and I think you've done postings.
No, I don't.
You know,
I don't
do right.
Postings.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done the postings.
How much do we pay her?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. So like $400 a month?
I'm not sure. Well, she got... I don't know what she's charging us right now.
I
know
either.
What used to be. When I was doing all the posting, it was $300 a year.
Yeah. Well,
about, you know, that was to do anything that I couldn't do.
Yeah.
So I think that we ought to wait, continue with her, but see what the county does, and then maybe look at. I mean, number one, I'd like to see a new website, because I think the website is really not set up to post stuff on it that.
Yeah, it's not user friendly. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
So
being user friendly.
I think going forward, maybe next year, we ought to look at getting a new website.
I bet we have consultants in the library that could get us going. Both Jenny and Francis are very knowledgeable with that.
Yeah. We could certainly look at that.
I mean, if you look at, they can get all sorts of stuff on there, visual stuff. That
I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy, but I think it just needs to be organized better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to be easier to find stuff.
Right.
So the only problem this is going to be for basically Chris Wiseman, because the water department doesn't seem to be able to download their minutes. They leave the thumb drive for her to put in, so that's not going to work.
Okay.
So they're going to have to
we'll have to work out something there.
So I'll talk to Jen. It's very easy to do.
Sherry, I think. When she was there, she...
No, this is to get the audio.
Yeah,
the
okay,
audio.
Yeah, okay.
Streetlights. Okay. So Mr. Schaefer is now clear that we do not have any streetlights on Screechum. Those belong to the people that live on Screechum, of which there are two, and he needs an electrician to put a bulb in one. Putnam Avenue. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but when you go down Putnam Avenue and you're down by Eagle Pond, there's one old street light down there.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yes.
I'm never down there at night.
Well, it's still there. So I've been talking to the Cape Light Compact. I've been talking, who's been talking to NSTAR, which is now Eversource. And apparently, when COMM decided to buy their lights, they found out that some of our lights were being paid for by COMM.
Oh.
For who knows for how long.
Shame they caught us.
Yeah, right. So that got straightened out. So all these lights get changed, and this one light is still sitting there. It's number 10-1 something or other. So I've been trying to find out why it didn't get changed. So the last report I had from Mrs. White, who's the lady I've been dealing with, is that that light is and has always been privately owned. I'm going, I don't think so. It's in the middle of no place. There weren't even any houses there. I'm not even sure if that light. But anyway.
Okay, it's not lighting an intersection or anything like that?
No, it's...
So why do we need it? They tried to take out all the lights that weren't...
It's if you're coming in Putnam Avenue,
yeah,
and you go by the new parking spot for Eagle Pond,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and then you go down about three houses on the left, it's right there. And, you know, Nixon is, the entrance for Nixon,
yeah,
is down here. So I'm just, the only thing, and she assures me we're not paying for it. Well, I don't feel so comfortable with that without seeing some sort of documentation, since the OMM was paying for lights for God only knows how long. But if we want to change it, it's, you know, we'd have to buy a whole new everything.
I'd rather see it removed than changed.
Well, I don't know.
If nobody owns it.
No, it's privately owned. She just can't tell me who privately owns it.
She doesn't know.
Mr. Barton?
She doesn't know or can't. Or she won't or can't or doesn't know or...
I don't. When did we buy this? I mean, when did we buy the streetlights?
2 years ago?
Oh, no. Originally.
Oh,
from
originally.
Cape and Vineyard, from Cape and Vineyard.
I wasn't involved then.
So that was like, has to be 25 or 30 years ago.
No, it couldn't be that far back. I think I'd remember it. I don't know.
Well, we have money in the budget, in the new budget for two lights. So after the 1st of July, we can replace the light.
Well, if it's not our light, we can't replace it.
Yeah.
If somebody else owns it, we can't be. Now, we have a pole on our property that we own,
mm-hmm,
that the Cape and Vineyard maintained, but then we have to grant them an easement along the driveway to get to it.
Yeah.
And don't ask me how that came about.
So, anyway, I just want to
yeah,
make sure that we're not paying for this light,
since
it's privately owned and it's not us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a street light story. And before I get to the minutes, I don't know if you noticed, but Mr. Nardone's been here. He's been, the parking lot is marked out for the repairs.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I saw the at the driveway side.
And the HVAC system is complete.
It is?
Terrific.
Yep.
So we have air conditioning in here now.
We have air conditioning in here now, correct. So that will be available for next Wednesday night.
If we need it.
We need it.
Probably be 30 degrees out there.
So, and we're going to get a rebate of $900 for installing energy efficient equipment.
Good.
And so that's parking lot rebate, and that's it. You may be getting a phone call, just so you know, from Hannah Rush. Mm-hmm. The Assistant Attorney General in the Open Meeting Law Complaint Office.
I read your email, yeah.
Okay. So she requested more information, and she may be contacting you. And did you both get a chance to review the minutes from May?
I did. I actually printed them out this time, and I know why I don't usually print them out.
Right. 33 pages worth. I noticed on page number 2, down at the bottom, near the bottom, there's a large paragraph, and it said 350,000. 1% is 350,000. It's a mistake. Should be probably 1%. Should be 35,000.
Oh, okay.
That's the only error that I noted. Of course, after page 16, I got a little bleary eyed.
Yeah.
I'll take a motion to approve them with that correction.
Make a motion that we approve the April 22nd minutes with one correction.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So, do you need us to do anything for you, Charlie, on Tuesday?
If you could maybe have this open at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Okay.
I know the chief's going to come in and set up the booths, he told me, and bring the ballot.
Okay.
Then I'll talk to Ann, but she does have, Ann will be the warden, and she has three workers.
Could you ask her? She'd get one from Wednesday night.
Okay.
Because I usually ask her.
Your what? Yeah, you usually bring your poor wife over here,
yeah,
and
right.
Make her do it.
She's got my granddaughter right now.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, we'll find somebody.
Okay. And then, what time do we want to set up for Wednesday?
The meeting's at
probably
7?
Somewhere around 6.
I was going to say 6, yeah.
Well, that's right. I've got to
contact.
Okay.
Guy will be,
yeah,
to set up the microphone.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. So he's
going to
be here at
6. He said somewhere between 6 and 6:30.
Okay. And so I have to let them know I'm not, can't work that night.
So I'll be here at 6.
Oh, we also have to set up all the chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, they don't magically, like.
I'll bring a fire commissioner along with me.
Yeah, no. And I'll bring my, fix the, I've got my, the screws to replace the ones that are falling out as you're setting them up.
Very good.
So if that's...
I just have one other thing. I think we should look at going back to having meetings at 7 o'clock in the evening and try to get more people to participate. I mean, we're running in this year in round numbers without the fire truck and the water towers. We're running almost a $4 million budget. We need to get some people interested in coming in here, and other than just people interested coming in. And I think if you hold a meeting in the evening, there's a greater chance of working people coming in. Yes, Lori?
It doesn't matter to me what time we meet. I'm not sure that people are going to take that much of an interest no matter what we do.
What's your feeling, Fran?
I don't particularly care for evening meetings. I'm much better at later in the day meetings like this. So, and I don't think, I agree with Lori, I don't think it's going to make that much, we don't see a whole lot of people who work at these meetings anyway. It's my understanding, only 6 people showed up to learn about the new water tower.
Yeah.
I must have sent out 30 or 40 emails.
Yeah. I did too.
And I know Rich Bowden was sending them to his list.
And I sent them to Tom Burgess, asked him to send it to his list.
I mean, I would have been here, unfortunately, I had a previous engagement, so. That's unfortunate. I'd like to see more people here getting more diverse opinion.
Well, I did. I spent a lot of time at the Stop and Shop this afternoon. I did have, as I said, one woman come up to me, and having spoken to the group at the friends at the library, I think got at least a few people interested that are going to be here. So I don't know who else we can talk to, but
you want to leave it for the time being and see what?
Yeah, I just I mean, this is basically a business working meeting.
Yeah.
You know, we're available to everybody. Our names are on the website. People can get our phone numbers. They can get our email. They can go to the library.
And if they're interested, they can read all this.
And listen to
this
it.
33 pages is on the website.
And I've had maybe a total of 1 or 2 people email me and comment about what they've heard or read on the website.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what you do to get people.
And I agree with you. People don't understand how much we're taking out of their pocket to run the fire district.
And I'll tell you, the bounce of the fire district had 30 voters at the top, and we have a quorum of 25. I mean, it was 7:33 before we hit quorum.
Yeah.
What's the quorum here, by the way?
We've never set a quorum. So we've never had a problem meeting the quorum.
But also getting a getting interested parties here is not a problem either.
Yeah.
You know, the building will be
full. We usually get a pretty good turnout for district meeting. And during elections, back when I was clerk, we'd have a ballot with no contest on it and have 35 or 40 people turn out to vote. I never could understand that one.
So
that's all I have as far as official business.
I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have to be recognized by Kim. We can use our own microphone, but we have to be recognized.
Yeah.